Hi, everyone. This is Sumati Rajput from the Crisis and Disaster Risk Finance Program at the World Bank Group. And you are listening to Women in Risk Finance, a podcast series dedicated to women around the globe working toward enabling faster and more reliable financial response in countries affected by climate shocks, disasters, and crises. Indonesia, the land of thousand islands, is often referred to as the Equatorial Emerald because of its lush green topography and many natural wonders. This magnificent nation is also known as one of the most disaster-prone countries in the world because of its location on the Pacific Ring of Fire. From earthquakes to volcanic eruptions to floods, the country has experienced it all. Yet, Indonesia remains a fast-growing economy and one that is expected to continue an upward trajectory of growth and prosperity. How is that the case? This is what we're going to find out on this podcast, where we are going to be in conversation with one of the leading women in disaster risk finance in Indonesia, who is working with leadership in the country to proactively manage the risks that the country faces from natural disasters. So without further ado, let me introduce our guest today, Ibu Yogi, who has been an integral part of Ministry of Finance since 1997. Ibu Yogi has focused on budgeting, treasury, and public financial management during her career. She previously served as Deputy Chief of Staff in the Minister's Office, where she was instrumental in aligning policies related to government spending and asset management. Now, as the Director of Center for Regional and Bilateral Policy at the Fiscal Policy Agency, Ibu Yogi leads a team dedicated to the coordination and implementation of policy analysis, particularly focusing on disaster risk finance. Welcome, Ibu Yogi. I am so excited to be here with you today and to have a conversation with you on your experience and Indonesia's experience working on disaster risk finance.
Hi, Sumati. I'm so happy and honored to be invited for this very important conversation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ibu. Most of these podcasts, we always start by asking our speaker to tell us a little bit about themselves. So please share a little bit about yourself and also your professional journey so far.
So yeah, as you mentioned, I've been working for the Indonesian Ministry of Finance for quite long, yeah, for more than two decades. So I started right after graduating from, this is a special college under the ministry. So my first assignment was in the State Financial and Accounting Agency, which was then merged into the what we know now as DG Treasury. So my assignment mainly was in the area of budgeting, treasury, and public financial management. Yeah, around 2012 to 2015, I think I remember I was working on what we called the Indonesian Spending Review. I think probably this will be also a little bit relevant to our discussion today. Yeah. In a way that makes me understand the importance of budget planning and management and budget efficiency. I think that's very important. And during that spending review, in the first year, we were able to make a recommendation of saving like around $3 billion from the budget baseline. And so that was really something that I was very proud of, yeah. And then after that, I was working for the supervisory of the financial management of public service agencies. And then, as you said, from 2019-2022, I was assigned as Deputy Chief of Staff in the Office of the Minister before assuming the current role in Center for Regional and Bilateral Policy, Fiscal Policy Agency. So mainly, I just want to say that I have a very strong interest in the subject of public sector efficiency and international finance.
Thank you, Ibu Yogi. This is very interesting, and it's fascinating that your journey in Ministry of Finance has enabled you to do so many different things that have then contributed to the role that you currently have in Ministry of Finance. So Ibu, you mentioned, you know, that you've worked on efficiency of public finance most of your career. And one of the things that countries are always trying to grapple with is how can they invest in, you know, invest their own money so that disasters don't destroy it, right? And I want to understand from your perspective, what disastrous finance means to you, and also how it's related to some of the activities that you've implemented in your previous career as well, how it all fits with your story.
Disaster risk finance, I think it's, for me, I see it as an effort to ensure the financial readiness and ability to protect the people and a country from the impact of a disaster, and also to be able to cover losses resulting from disaster. It's a strategy and how to make financing possible to do all of those things. So when a disaster strikes, our goal is to help to minimize its financial impact and ensure timely funding without jeopardizing fiscal stability and also other development goals. Therefore, the government needs a strategy to ensure that the government itself, people, homeowners, small and medium-sized enterprises, and certainly the most vulnerable people can get the funding timely and protection in the event of a disaster. When we discuss DRF, we are not only talking about financial management, of course, and also, we are not just talking about fiscal and national budget, but it should also cover disaster risk management concerning how it can contribute to building resilience, how to build more disaster awareness in the general public. It should also encompass other strategies such as strengthening for risk transfer and supporting social protection mechanism to ensure financial support reaches the most vulnerable.
Thank you, Ibu. Very well articulated in terms of the meaning of disastrous finance, and especially how you see this as relevant for Indonesia, because, of course, having funds prearranged is essential, but ensuring they can be received by those who need them after disaster and having those links and delivery channels in place is actually as important as well. So Ibu, Indonesia has been really, you know, a global leader on disastrous finance. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about Indonesia's evolution or journey on disastrous finance, and also a little bit about the vision where the country hopes to go? And particularly then, if you could also highlight your role in how you would help with contributions to advancing this vision.
Yeah. So starting in 2018, Indonesia launched the Disaster Risk Financing and Insurance, the DRFI strategy, our national strategy to address limited fiscal capacity concerning disaster funding. This strategy represents a major step forward in the evolution of Indonesia's DRF policy. This strategy aims to achieve several objectives, such as reducing the national budget burden and shock, diversifying financial instruments, transferring risk through insurance mechanism, and adopting the proactive measures. A key component of the DRF strategy is what we call the pooling fund for disaster, but in Indonesia we have our own acronym. Yeah, we call it PFB, pooling fund for bencana. So bencana means disaster, which is currently in the preparatory phase of implementation. This PFB is anticipated to foster inclusive engagement from various stakeholders, including local governments, the private sector, and communities. Through implementing the PFB, innovative financing mechanisms are envisioned to enhance the efficiency of disaster management funding distribution, ensuring timely and targeted allocation of resources. In the long term, PFB is expected to serve as the major instrument for retaining disaster risk financing in Indonesia. But at the same time, we also expect that through PFB, there will be a strategy to comprehensive approach to this disaster financing. We have the initial allocation of USD 500 million, which is not so big, yeah, from state budget. But we want to ensure its sustainability, yeah, by having a strategy on collection, a strategy on accumulation, and then probably most important thing is also the strategy for disbursement of fund to targeted beneficiaries. This requires a regulatory framework and specific operational procedures, which we are now currently working on. And our immediate focus is on the operationalizing of this PFB, which we hope to be effective by next year. Yeah? A goal that we want to aim to be sustainable, yeah, for very long in the future. And we hope that PFB will become the cornerstone of the Indonesia's DRFI strategy. This means not only persuading its implementation, but also fostering mutual understanding and cooperation between different parties, such as local authorities, because we want to invite participation from local governments, and then also from insurance industry and also community representatives. The intention behind this is to make all stakeholders see that PFB is not just a policy, but it's a shared commitment for everyone, which will increase our ability then for future to absorb financial shocks coming from disaster better than before.
Thank you, Ibu Yogi. That's a very nice representation of the Pooling Fund for Bencana and very unique in the landscape of disastrous finance solutions, because you're trying to target so many different challenges or aspects of making disastrous finance more sustainable in your country by using this really, as you said, you know, the main focus or the major cornerstone of your disaster risk finance strategy, or the main instrument that you hope will allow you to coordinate your entire disaster risk finance architecture. Ibu, you mentioned a lot of steps in actually getting to operationalizing the Pooling Fund for Bencana, and I wanted to ask if you could talk a little bit about the challenges, maybe some of the regulatory challenges or any other, you know, specific challenges that you see that are in your path to achieving this vision. And perhaps also what you would say are, you know, some of the big achievements so far in your journey, which has been already a few years long now, to set up this very important initiative.
So before the development of the DRFI strategy, disaster funding relied heavily on the government budget, yeah, APBN and local government budget. So as a result, the funding was inflexible and tended to be more reactive rather than proactive. Additionally, there was no risk transfer mechanism at all at the sovereign level and also at the non-sovereign level, although we have like several initiatives like agriculture insurance, for example, it still not picking up the speed. Yeah, it's not so popular. So these are all leading to a more approach on the retention side. Yeah, of approach. So, also mentioned earlier, the DRFI strategy acknowledges the necessity of utilizing multiple financing instruments for disaster management activities. These instruments should include state budgets, standby loans, PFB, public asset insurance, micro insurance, contribution from donors, and so on. As the key financing instrument of Indonesia's DRFI strategy, we actually do have already a regulation, the Presidential Regulation number 75, 2021. But talking about the challenges to achieve the financial resilience in Indonesia, I would say it lies in collaboration and coordination. It's very hard. Disaster risk financing and management involve numerous stakeholders, as I mentioned before, including also at the national level, the line ministries, different line ministries, the subnational governments or local governments, private sector, and development partners. So given all these different roles and responsibilities of each party, it's really challenging to align their efforts, their interests, and to ensure an effective cooperation. For instance, in developing the PFB, we are currently discussing the regulation needed for the operationalization. Given its innovative nature, it's because it's very different from the conventional approach on conventional governance of the state budget, it can be very difficult to find a suitable compromise within the existing more relatively rigid rules of public finance. Moreover, we must consider the authority and scope of work of either line ministries to align with the PFD's business processes. Additionally, raising awareness among stakeholders about the importance of funding disaster management activities faces another challenge. By recognizing the significance of DRF, the stakeholders will be more inclined to participate in DRF initiatives. We still have to work on this. Therefore, the primary challenge remains in fostering collaboration and coordination among related stakeholders in disaster risk financing. As for the achievement so far, I think being able to establish the PFB and now we have the initial seed funding of around $500 million. I think it's one of the greatest achievement. And then we are also able now to promote more the implementation of the risk transfer for the state or public asset insurance by having co-financing from the PFB.
Thank you so much, Ibu Yogi. Very rich focus on, you know, the journey of the PFD and some of the challenges and achievements. Of course, what you highlight demonstrates a lot on the difference between actually setting up an institution like the PFB or setting up an institutional structure to ensure disastrous finance is sustainably embedded in your country's financial planning, which is very different from, you know, setting up a product. And in fact, you mentioned on many instances in your response, the issue of coordination, collaboration, engagement of stakeholders. And so I wanted to focus the next question a bit on that piece and really trying to understand who are the key stakeholders that have so far been able to enable progress, both internally and externally. So who are some of the key partners that, you know, you need to have on your side to make sure that this mechanism works well in your country?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, within the government there, in the national level, we have line ministries playing crucial role. For later on the implementation of DRFI and the PFD implementation, operationalization. First of all, the most important one, the National Disaster Management Agency. And then we also have the Ministry of National Development Planning. Additionally, Ministry of Home Affairs also played very important role in addressing this local government's role and participation in the DRFI and PFD. And I think also Ministry of Health and Ministry of Social Affairs will be playing crucial role at the implementation level. Also, there should be active participation from Ministry of Public Works and Housing. These ministries are responsible for the implementing disaster-related activities within their domains, making their involvement very essential. And other than that, the partners from the private sectors, as such as the insurance industry, provide valuable perspective and also playing very crucial role, because we want to strengthen or promote the risk transfer mechanism. And then also academic sector should contribute important role as well, in giving their point of view, information, and analysis that will be considered in the development and also improvement of our DRF strategy. We also acknowledge the role of our development partners, of course, World Bank. I think is one of our most important partners in the financing, also supporting the capacity building related to DRF.
So Ibu Yogi, thank you. I have just one last question for you, which is, you know, if there was one key message that you wanted to leave with all of our listeners today, what would that be?
There is this famous quote from Benjamin Franklin that says, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." So this quote may relate a lot to disaster risk financing, I think, in which it underscores the critical importance of preparedness. So by emphasizing the value of being proactive, this quote reminds us that the time and effort invested in preparation can significantly mitigate the impact of disasters and enhance our ability to respond effectively. This quote's wisdom also extends beyond DRF, actually, and applies to various aspects of our life. Good preparation is a key factor in achieving success in any endeavor. So with a good preparation, we can face challenges with confidence and resilience, ultimately improving our chances of success in all areas of life.
Thank you so much for sharing your candid and inspiring views with us today. It's been a really pleasurable experience talking to you, and I look forward to continuing this conversation whenever I see you next on the Pooling Fund for Benchana. Thank you, Ibu.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Today's podcast would not have been possible without the contributions of the Crisis and Disaster Risk Finance team. A special thanks to Olivia Mahul, Kavya Krishna, and Anusha Mary Vincent, who helped with production and editing of this podcast.